Well met, and welcome to episode 118, the Bill Shakespeare Project podcast for December the 13th, 2015. For our blog and previous podcast episodes, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. Greetings, this is Bill Walthall, and in this podcast, we're going to take a break from our usual format to present another in our infrequent and seemingly random series of interviews. You might want to remember that a few months back, well, almost a half year ago, we spoke with Amir Khan about his upcoming scholarly book, Counterfactual Thinking and Shakespearean Tragedy. Well, today we're going to go in a slightly less academic, probably a little more entertaining direction, as I'll be speaking with Eric Gladstone, author of the upcoming comic book No Holds Barred. Eric Gladstone is a writer from Los Angeles, California, specializing in all things superhero. He's written voiceover scripts for over 30 Marvel characters as the senior dialogue writer for the video game Marvel Heroes, and works in the POW Entertainment offices with Spider-Man co-creator Stan the Man Lee. Excelsior, babies! I'm talking today with Eric Gladstone, and he is the author of No Holds Barred, a comic book about William Shakespeare. So, Eric, why don't you tell us a little bit about your comic book, No Holds Barred?
Well, it's kind of coming from a place where it's kind of about like a Batman-style character who is modeled after William Shakespeare. It is William Shakespeare fighting crime. It's written in iambic pentameter. And it's about the queen is stolen by a mysterious person. And so it's up to Bard and a fictional character called Page, who is based on William Page from Merry Wives of Windsor. And it's up to them to track down the queen and get her back on the throne.
That is awesome. You sent me today the first couple of pages, no pun intended, and I got to the character of Page, and I was going, okay, now who's this supposed to be? And so now when you say it's William Page from Merry Wives, now it's starting to kind of fall into place. You've got this young kind of dynamic character who's not above maybe some body innuendo as he was in the play. Very cool stuff. Now, when you say the queen has been kidnapped, is there going to be like an overarching big bad that goes over multiple episodes? Or issues, rather? Or is this going to be kind of a self-contained one-issue piece about this kidnapping?
Well, this particular one is self-contained. There is a funny kind of meta-like analysis over who actually stole the queen. But there is an overarching big bad in Puck, and that is the character that actually turned Shakespeare's parents into donkeys. Kind of in that Batman twist.
I love it. You know, as I was taking a look at those first couple of pages, I came across his childhood and this puckish fairy who shows up, and that really kind of leads me to the question that I've been thinking about. You know, since I first took a look at your Kickstarter page, and that's how much of the Shakespeare collected works do you plan to kind of slide into your work? You know, so far you've already talked about William Page, you've talked about Puck. Are we going to see other characters from the collected works?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Falstaff figures in pretty prominently in the first issue, and there's going to be like little references peppered in either through quotes or different characters. The second issue that's planned right now is actually called The Deadly Wives of Windsor, and that kind of follows Page's family and just kind of his interactions with them, kind of set in the course of the wedding that takes place in Merry Wives. Yeah.
That is tremendously cool. So,
I'm talking as someone who's like not a Shakespeare scholar by any means, and just kind of an amateur admirer that has taken it upon himself to treat these characters with respect and also have a little bit of fun with them. So I posted it on a few like kind of hardcore Shakespeare places, and they're like, oh, this isn't quite iambic pentameter. I'm like, come on, guys, give it a rest. It's comic.
Well, not only that, though, but, you know, if you go through, and I have, since, you know, I'm reading the plays as a part of this project, he doesn't stick to iambic pentameter every line. That would become thumpingly regular and not very interesting to listen to. His characters alter the iambic pentameter for a purpose, you know? So anybody who says, oh, well, you know, these 14 lines aren't strictly blank verse, well, you know, to heck with them.
And neither was he. I said, I'm no Shakespeare, but just like William Shakespeare, I don't use it everywhere.
Exactly, because it would become boring at that point. So that brings me to my next question, which is, why Shakespeare?
Why not? I mean, for me, it was that a lot of these characters have been around for so long, and they're integrated with culture in ways that really are unmatched. You know, when I was a kid, like, we had, you know, the Romeo plus Juliet, the Baz Luhrmann movie, and that was huge, and all these other adaptations. And so I was like, why not just adapt Shakespeare himself? It seemed like a fun project, and I could keep it kind of light. And yeah, also the other thing about it was I'm coming as a huge fan of the 1960s Batman show. And in that show, whenever they would get a call that like trouble is afoot, Adam West would go up to a bust of Shakespeare and flip it open and press down a button revealing a sliding bookcase with fire poles down it, and then go off and save the day. So I was like, why Shakespeare? And so for me, that was the jumping off point.
Wow.
And then, unlike anything else, it kind of wrote itself. You know, what would these characters do in this kind of situation? And yeah, it was a lot of fun for me.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny that you mentioned the Adam West show. I'm obviously, if you're talking about Romeo plus Juliet being kind of from when you were growing up, I'm much older than that. When I was a little kid, the Adam West show was actually on television originally. And so I have pictures that my parents have taken of me having dragged my little chair in front of the television and just waiting for the beginning of that show. You know, if they had videotape at that point, I'm sure I would have sung the theme song. My parents certainly have pages of paper where I believe my first word written was Batman, because, you know, I watched that logo. And what's crazy is, as much as I love Shakespeare, I never realized that that was a Shakespeare bust that he flipped open to hit the button. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and that's something that's kind of become a part of the mythos, like in a larger context. And it rings true because Batman is the most theatrical of superheroes, and so, like, for him, it was being a rich guy with karate lessons and a super suit, and he's gonna go out and fight people, and when really he just needs therapy, and
I'm a lot of it.
And a lot of it, but, you know, and for me, that was one of the funnier ways to take it. So that's kind of what I did. And so far we're doing really well, and I'm really enjoying hearing people's responses so far.
Now, you just made mention of so far we're doing really well. Who else is working on this project with you?
The royal we, but I also have, I commissioned a bunch of different artists who are actually pretty big in the comics world, including Erica Henderson, who does the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl for Marvel and the new Jughead series, and Logan Ferber, who does a really great book called O'Kill Strike with actually a school friend of mine named Max Bemis. I have Kara McGee, who's like this really great artist from Tumblr. James Callahan, who does The Auteur, which is one of my personal favorite comics I've ever read. And I was so, so lucky to get him. And this other guy, Aaron Conley. And he does some work for Marvel with Secret Wars and Battle World. And then I have pinups from Sina Grace, who's a really great image artist. Bobby Rubio, who does work for Pixar and for Nickelodeon, and also Ashlyn Anstey, who is a storyboard artist at Nickelodeon.
Wow, that's quite a collection of talent you've got working on this.
Yeah, I was really lucky to get them, and you know, I think the idea may have had a little bit to do with it.
Earlier, when we were talking about the kind of the genesis of this project, you know, started with kind of the characters, and then you said, and it kind of just wrote itself. What is your creative process like?
Well, first, when you're writing something in iambic pentameter, it's really tough to actually get a start with it. So I started by writing it out in prose, and I wrote like the first 22 pages, which is how long the first issue is, and that was done within a couple of days, actually. And then from there, I spent months just kind of tweaking dialogue and counting on my fingers, you know, will this work in the meter? And from there, it just really, the scenarios, though, they were really fairly easy to come up with, because it was taking the cue from Batman of having the very over the top theatrical villains and, you know, just peppering in little bits of Shakespeare here and there. And then, it really kind of came together in a fun and interesting way.
It sounds like it. And you know, you were talking about, you know, counting the syllables on your fingers and stuff. You know, when I'm doing the scansion now, I still end up doing that as well. But what I really loved was, even as I was going through the flashback sequence with William Shakespeare's childhood and the introduction of the Puck character, the rhythm of his speech is very much like his rhythm in Midsummer Night's Dream. It's not strictly iambic pentameter. It's a little shorter in line length and a lot more playful, a lot more mischievous, for lack of a better term. And it just fit perfectly. I've got to compliment you on that right off the bat.
Why, thank you very much. Yeah, I tried to write him with like a little sneer and disdain, and also to try and to rhyme most of what he says as couplets, just to give him that little extra rhythm and make him feel like a different character. Because I know that there's, to a lot of people today, like Shakespearean speech is this one particular like thing. But in Shakespeare, he actually writes these characters very, very differently from one another.
Absolutely.
And so like, I try to differentiate characters of different class and different social standings and that kind of thing, and write them like they were real characters, but also in this kind of haughty style that more people would be familiar with.
I love it. That's awesome. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about your opening issue with the kidnapping of the Queen and with your kind of overarching big bad of Puck. You talked a little bit about Deadly Wives of Windsor. In a perfect world, would you see this as an ongoing, say, you know, monthly comic or bi-monthly, or do you see this as kind of a short series, or maybe a sequence of short series? What's your thoughts?
It's the kind of writing that I do on this is like so much harder than what I do in my regular job and when I write other kinds of stories, and I have to have like so much reverence for the actual source material, even though it is a fun take on it, but it is difficult. And so I'm trying, even though I have six issues planned for this that would kind of constitute a graphic novel called The First Folio. I think I want to keep it to six, you know, for now. Mm-hmm. And then come back to it later, and you know, and really, this is only if there's a good response. Like so far, it's been a couple of days, and we've passed the 25% mark, and so that's like really promising. But honestly, who knows? I have the kind of outlines for the first six. I have a rough script for issue two, and kind of more beats for three and four and five.
Nice. You know, your discussion of how difficult it is to do the writing, especially stylistically, you know, it just reminds me of, I kind of see we're in kind of a new golden age of television where, you know, most schlocky TV series, you've got, you know, 20 or 24 episodes that are just kind of cranked out like sausage versus, you know, something like Game of Thrones where you're talking about, you know, 12, you know, episodes.
Yeah, so you
or Luther from BBC where you get 6 episodes if you're lucky. So, yeah, it's that sense of quality and craftsmanship is apparent right off the bat, and it's something that you and your artist should be very, very proud of.
Thank you. Well, I'm very hard. I'm very hard on myself, and I'm very hard on my letterer, especially. Sorry, Frank. I keep sending him new and updated drafts of, oh, I got to change a word here and there, and you know, I think it gets annoying after a while. So I try and like get him, you know, as much as I can, as soon as I can, and just kind of be a good boss. I've never really been a boss before, and so. I'm trying to make the most quality product that I can.
Well, it's definitely showing right now. Now, here's a question for you. One of the things that I like about it is we jump straight into the story. It's not really an origin story. That begs the question, how much of a flashback are we going to see to the actual origin of both William Shakespeare as a crime fighter and William Page as his trusty sidekick?
Well, there's going to be like a little bit of that. I mean, there's some of it in the first issue for sure. And there will be a little bit more of that down the line, but I think these characters are already pretty firmly established within their world. And so it's more about having them go on fun adventures than really explaining their origins. That's something I don't necessarily love in the current wave of superhero movies that we've had, where you have, you know, it, not everything has to be an origin story. People know who Spider-Man is, et cetera.
You mean we don't need 3 versions of how he got bit by a radioactive spider?
Yeah, exactly. And I think with Shakespeare, it's inspiration hits him. Like he has a circumstance that propels him forward, and then he just kind of takes inspiration from there. And in the next issue, if we get to that, hopefully, there's going to be a little bit more about Page and his family. But Shakespeare is just this kind of overly dramatic character, and so he kind of took it upon himself to fight the evils of the world.
I love it. That's awesome. Now, obviously, you know, in just our conversation right here, there's a certain passion and a certain love of Shakespeare that comes across very readily. You know, how did you discover Shakespeare and fall in love with it?
Well, I think like a lot of us, middle school English. I went to a high school here in Los Angeles, but also these characters are just in the public ether. You know, they're everywhere, and so I was just like, yeah, these characters are really cool and fun and timeless. And what can I do to kind of to show respect to them and also to have fun with them?
Excellent.
Sorry, does that answer your question?
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, the whole idea of, you know, Shakespearean characters becoming kind of part and parcel to, you know, even our 21st century pop culture. You know, it's like, you know, I've got a teenage son, and you know, I've taken him to see, you know, Much Ado About Nothing, and it's like, okay, listen to these two characters. We would not have romantic comedies today if it wasn't for Beatrice and Benedict arguing all through the first half of the play and then somehow finding themselves in love in the second half, you know.
Yeah.
It's all about influence and the influence that Shakespeare has had, you know, throughout time and right up to the present day. And it's really cool to see a just fun take of it, which is what I saw in those first 7 pages of No Holds Barred. If
you
can, let the listeners know exactly what they can do to check out what you've done and possibly support what you're doing.
Well, you can check out No Holds Barred, B-A-R-D, comic.com, noholdsbarredcomic.com, and that'll link you to the Kickstarter. You can Google it. I think it's a featured project right now, which is really exciting. But yeah, there's if you just look up No Holds Barred, I think it'll probably go to my page. Who knows? But yeah, definitely NoHoldsBarredComic.com. And you can pledge your support there. I'm looking to raise $10,000 to just kind of gauge interest and take it from there, you know? Hopefully, at we have a stretch goal at $14,000 where we're actually going to be printing the issue. And then, and also for someone who's really macabre, I have a friend who's a prop master who's designing a wooden box that is going to hold a real human skull. So if that sounds interesting.
Oh, man. How much do you have to contribute to get that?
That is $3,333. And apparently skulls, real human skulls, are somewhat hard to procure. So
that is available
to the U.S.
Oh, but, you know, how many people can actually walk around their house and do the Yorick speech with a real freaking skull in your hand? That is too cool.
And only minor ethical qualms. It was part of a teaching collection. It's not a. It doesn't seem like it was pilfered from a grave site.
Excellent. All right. Well, Eric, thank you very much for sharing your project with us. And I'm going to make sure that we have as many links as you can provide us on the blog page to send people to your project.
All right. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure being with you, Bill.
Fantastic. I appreciate it.
I want to thank Eric for a great interview. Folks, this is a project that's pretty damned fun. You can find some appropriate web links on the blog entry page for this podcast. You really should check them out. Now, if you've enjoyed this podcast, but you haven't been following along with our daily blog entries the last couple of weeks, you've missed out on subjects including Measure for Measure Wrap-Up, New Month, New Play, Othello, Live Cinema Broadcast Review, The Winner's Tale by the Kenneth Branagh Theater Company, Othello Plot Synopsis Act 1, Hate, YouTube Channel Update, Othello, Othello Plot Synopsis Act 2, Scheming, Othello Sources, Othello Plot Synopsis Act 3, Jealousy, English Paper, Shakespeare Shakes Free, Othello Plot Synopsis Act 4, Machination, and A Look Back at Desdemona. So, if you'd like more in-depth discussions or just want a daily fix, check out the blog entries at thebillshakespeareproject.com, or become a fan of our Facebook page and our Twitter feed. But remember that those social media outlets are more for Shakespeare news and notes than for discussions of our current play under study. Also, if you have any comment or question about this or any other Bill Shakespeare Project podcast or blog entry, you can always lob me an email at bill@thebillshakespeareproject.com. And join us again for our next podcast. We'll be kicking off Othello with an intro and plot synopsis in a week. We hope to see you then. Been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project podcast for December the 13th, 2015. For our blog and previous podcast episodes, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com, and we shall see thee anon.